done, because I want to try to go fast through my section so that we can spend time on the homework. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we spent together in your word. Just pray that you bless this time and teach me and pray that you encourage us during this time. We ask this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to see that you all have persevered until the end of this month. So now, let's start off. I'm going to go right to it. Interpretation versus application. I didn't say anything about this last week. I just said that we were going to do it. So that meant that when you went home to do it, you probably went, what's interpretation? What's application? What should I be doing? Right? You maybe did that. Or some of you, like Jerry, who's been to Bible school, he knows what's interpretation versus application. So, I mean, interpretation. So we found out last time that we've been doing observation the whole month. Right? We've been looking at the text. And we've been looking at the text to find out the context, which is made up of what we see, which are patterns, right? Structure. There's words in there. This is all made up of words. We see thought flow through it, right? So this is the context. How it's all put together. And we saw that this is what we were looking at these last few weeks. And in fact, we're going to go back to this in not next month, but the month after, because we're just touching on interpretation and application today just to get a taste of it. Because the thing is, to get to interpretation, you have to spend a lot of time observing, looking at what the Bible says. So, for example, so I'm going to go right to example. Like we see this phrase. This is stay off grass, right? Now, when you see that phrase by itself, it can mean almost anything. It could mean almost anything.
Don't smoke marijuana.
It could mean don't smoke marijuana. It could mean stay off of the grass, the lawn. It could mean something else. So we don't know what it
is. That a comma? That'd be stay off grass.
Yeah. I saw a book where these people with the comma eats, shoots, and leaves. You seen that book? So like at the zoo, there's the pandas, and somebody had put a comma in so that it looks like the panda doesn't eat, shoots, and leaves. Oh. It eats, it shoots, and it leaves. Okay. Because they put in commas for no reason. But anyway, so the context of this, stay off grass, when you see it by itself, you don't know what it's saying. All you have is words. So what you need to see is what's around it. So if you see this on a poster in a college with a guy smoking something, you knew that it's telling you, don't do drugs, stay off of marijuana, stay off of grass. But if you see this on the lawn, you know what it's saying is, stay off the grass, off the lawn. So that phrase is in a context. When you see it in that context, you get the meaning. That's interpretation. Interpretation is what it means. What it actually means in the context that it's in. Because if you rip it off of this context, for example, if you're walking by the lawn and you see this thing that says, stay off of grass, and then you go to somebody else and you tell them, you see what that lawn says? And the person says, yes. It means stop smoking marijuana. You've made a mistake. You've ripped it out of its context and you've applied it now to a completely different situation. So application is when you take what the text says, what it means, and you apply it or you show how it works in another situation. So for example, this stay off of grass, if it's on a lawn, what does it mean? Not what does it mean, but what's the message saying to the boy who loves playing on the grass? What is the message saying to a couple who loves laying on the grass? What is the message saying to the guy who loves destroying grass? He loves killing it. And what is the message saying to the worker who takes care of the grass? He's the guy who put the sign down. So the meaning's always the same. It's always one meaning. The text has one meaning. Stay off the grass. But now it's applied in different ways in these different situations. So the boy who loves staying laying on the grass or loves playing on the grass, What is the result of this message for his life? What is he supposed to do when he comes up to the lawn and sees the message stay off the grass, Josias? What's he supposed to do?
Run away.
Not run away. Is that what the message says? What's he supposed to do?
Leave.
Is that what he's supposed to do?
At least stay off the grass.
And stay off the grass, right? Exactly. It's not. It doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say leave. You could stand there and admire the grass and say, ah, lovely grass. But you can't get on the grass, boy.
So you're talking application now, right?
Yes, I'm talking application. Okay. So we have the meaning is stay off the grass, but the message for the boy is, boy, you cannot play ball on that grass. Mm-hmm. How about the couple that loves lying down on the grass? They love lying down on the grass. Here's a lovely lawn. It's perfect for them to lay down. What is the message for them?
Lay down on the grass.
They can't lay down on that grass. That's right. So the message for them is, couple, you like laying down on the grass? That's wonderful. You can't lay down on this grass. It's been applied to them. The message means stay off this grass, but couple is now speaking to you in your situation. You can't lay down on the grass. How about this guy who loves killing grass? What's the message to him? He's like, oh, don't worry about it. I don't have to stand on the grass. I just can kill it. What is the message in him, to him, in his situation?
Right there, you should just leave and run away.
Well, it doesn't say run away, but it's saying stay off the grass. So is this person saying, when the meaning of this, it's just, ah, we just want you to stay off, but you can do whatever you want to it from a distance?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the grass is important. And this person who owns the grass is saying stay off of it. So what this message is saying to this guy is, although you don't step on it, you shouldn't also be killing it because it's important. And this is how the guy is showing the importance of it. He's saying, stay off of it. But how about the worker who puts down the sign? Who's the one who's taking care of the grass? What about him? What's the result of this message to his situation and his life?
He has the right to do it. To go on the grass.
Yeah, he has
to put the grass down.
He's the one who put the grass down. Oh, yes, but he's the worker for the grass. So that means that he is the one who's really part of the context of this message. So he's the one who puts the sign down for the owner. He's the one who takes care of the grass. And he probably even knows how to walk on the grass so that you don't crunch it down. So that's just a fast example of interpretation versus application. But let's do another one real quick before we get into the homework, because I'm trying to fly through this. I'm sorry. I want to spend more time with you guys and you guys talking and all that sort of stuff. Let's do John 3:16. We should all know this one. Let's turn to John 3, verse 16. John 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Right? Now, here we're seeing the verse by itself. But this verse is in the context of the book of John. In fact, it's in the context of a discussion with Nicodemus. Look what he goes on to say in verse 17. Look at verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So what is the context here? That the world, it's not so much everybody, that Jesus has come into everybody, that God loved everybody and sent his Son to die. That's not what it is. Jesus comes into the world. The world loved darkness. The world is judged. So what it's saying, it seems to be, is God loved this bad place. It's so bad. It's so bad. And this is how God showed his love. He sent his Son to die. All right, so here's the point. God loved this wicked place made up of sinners, right? So it's so bad, this dark world. God loved it. And how did he love this world? He gave his son. So he gave his son for this world so that anyone who believes on him wouldn't perish. They don't die. They have eternal life. So the message is then, the meaning of this text is that God loves this sinful world so that he gave his son so that anyone who believes on him won't die but have eternal life. That's the meaning, which is interesting. It means pretty much what it says, right? This is why this is one of those great verses to use. Anyway, so there's the meaning. That's our meaning. Now, let's apply it in different situations. What's the application to the boy who is an unbeliever? What is the application to the pastor who's in sin? He's a believer, but he's sinning. And what's the application to the evil, unbelieving murderer? What's the application in those different situations? So here's what the text means. God loved this sinful place and this sinful people by sending his son to die for them, that anybody who believes on him will not die but have everlasting life. So what does it mean to the boy who is not a believer? Well, it's telling him the result of this meaning is, boy, here's the application, believe. Mm-hmm. Believe on God. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on the Son. Believe. Right? So that's the application. Unbelieving boy, you must believe. Why? Because you are not a believer. And if being a not believer, this verse says that if you're not a believer, you die. The application is, boy, you don't believe, you die. In fact, it says that you're already judged. And the only way that you can actually get life is by believing on the Son who God gave. All right, that one's easy, right? How about the pastor who's sinning?
It says, remember what he did to give you life.
Exactly. And so it's speaking directly to him. Pastor, you have believed. You have life. You are no longer this wicked world person. You've been saved. You have eternal life. So the message for the application for him is, stop. Don't do that anymore. You're not part of this wicked world. You're not that. You've believed. You've come out of darkness. You've seen the light. So turn from the darkness and go back to the light. It doesn't mean that you've stopped being a believer. It means, Pastor, you're acting like an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. So now, take your life and make it a life that shows you're a believer. All right, how about this guy? This evil, unbelieving murderer. What's the application for him?
Shows that there's redemption for him.
Oh yeah, that's right. So here's this boy, he's an unbeliever. He'll appreciate that. Oh, I'm not a believer. But this guy, he knows, oh, I'm exactly the type of person God came to save. There's an answer for me too. I am not, even though I'm pretty far gone, and I've done some awful things, I am not so far gone that God didn't send his son to die for me. I'm exactly the type of person God sent his son to die for. So he has a message too. It's an application to him. Does that change the meaning of this? This has one meaning. It just has different applications. This is like back with our fruit that we were talking about in the beginning. This fruit that you squeeze and you get the juice out of. The juice stays the same. It doesn't change. It's always the same juice. But these different people are drinking it up and they're getting the accents that mean something delicious to their own situation. All right, so now we're going to go right to the homework. And to make things easier, and to encourage interaction with you guys, I'm going to start off, and you guys will critique my presentation. This is going to be very laid back, so you guys can critique my presentation. Maybe it's perfect, Maybe it's not. I have a feeling that it will not be perfect. All right. Yeah, well, we'll see here. John chapter 6, verse 3. John chapter 6, verse 3. This is what it says in John chapter 6, verse 3. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. So you see, it says that Jesus went up into the mountain, and there's where he sat down with his disciples. It doesn't say he sat down in the valley. It says he sat down in the mountain. Look at verse 15. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. So when they tried to do what they wanted to do, he left them, and then he went to the mountain by himself alone. So the mountain is a special place. In fact, this is what the text means, that where we must worship Jesus, we must go to him in the mountain. We should build our churches on mountains. So Bristol is doing a good job that we're on a hill. So Jesus also died on a hill outside of Jerusalem, right? Golgotha. And Jerusalem is the holy hill. And we find out in the book of Hebrews that we're part of the unshakable mountain. We've come to the unshakable mountain. So what this is saying is, the meaning of this is that we must worship on mountains. It says that the meaning is you worship Jesus at mountains. That's where you meet him. And the application is that we should build our churches on mountains. And if we want to have a real Christian life and a real deep relationship with God, we must worship him on mountains. Thus says the word of God. Let's go sing. Go sing it on the mountains. All right? All right. So what was wrong with that? Or was it perfect? Did you agree completely? Because I used the word of God.